Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
You're listening to Rabot and Co. here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now, here's Louis Rabot.
All right, we're at the top of the hump on hump day. How about that? 11 o'clock hour here on Rabot and Co. ESPN 680, 105.7. Zach Cantrell, Louis Rabot, hanging out with you. I'm at Radio Louis on Twitter, ahead of everything Derby related. If you have not found it, I've put up my Derby cheat sheet for all the contenders in the Kentucky Derby this year. Over at First Gen Sports, if you want to find it, but it is also pinned to the top of my Twitter feed. Probably the easiest way for many people to find it over there. We've had 13,000 downloads of that so far, Zach. How about that? So there you go. Very, very popular thing. I do it for nothing every year. I should probably get a sponsor at the bottom of the thing at some point, but here we are. Has all the Equibase pages, all the connections of the horse, and then all of their major replays from stakes races, usually from the Derby preps, but if they ran in other races, we include those as well. I say we for all these things, Zach. It's me. It's
we.
It's
okay.
So, yeah, yeah. We, the royal we here. By we, I mean Louis. There you are. So we'll do Bologna Salami today at 11:20. We're going to keep the draft talk going. We're getting some good texts here. 437-9680. All in on Caleb Williams. It's misinformation season. No worries at all about the off-field issues. By the way, usually when they go to, oh, he's aloof or something like that, it's they're trying to distract you from the gameplay. Right.
No, that's
exactly right. So J.J. McCarthy. Stick with the quarterbacks. I promise I'll get to Brock Bowers. 437-9680 on the UPS Jobs text line. We'll do some draft today and tomorrow, of course. By the way, we are going to have Sierra Leone's owner. Brooks is going to join us tomorrow at 11:20 as well. So we'll start to meet some of the characters behind this Kentucky Derby 150 next week. So Brooke will join us tomorrow in the 11 o'clock hour. Got to work it out with Jay Davis, but I'm not going to pass on the owner of this, probably the second favorite in the Derby. I'm not passing on that, so it is what it is. J.J. McCarthy, offensive assistant number one. People like his personality.
Translation, his game stinks.
I just, maybe you can find the scene, but where they're trying to set up George on the blind date with Elaine's friend. He's strong. He's fat, you know, this kind of stuff. Like describing whenever someone goes to personality, I'll give you the local example from this show. Was I was told how hard Chris Livingston worked,
and you know who the friend was, right?
Janice from Friends, right?
Yeah. Yep.
That's right. Yeah. Other quarterbacks here, Drake May. I wouldn't take him in the top 10. I agree with this already. I just don't know if he's ready now to go take over. He had one of the more impressive interviews I've done in years in the NFL. He's very impressive on the board, talking ball, and the different systems he's played in and the responsibilities he's had. Now, I don't think he's a top 10 talent, but I don't know how this guy can say, I just don't know if he's ready to take over. When he gets up to the board, he dominates. Like, that's what you want your quarterback to do. In a super high-level, you know, stressful situation of a draft interview where a guy's deciding if you're worth millions of dollars or not. If you do a good job of that, I'm just not at all sure that I would go with the second one. Same guy, his personality is terrific. His improvement on that pro day was really good because his film isn't. His feet are all over the place. Here's what I always think about that. Oh, he was good in drills, but in the game he got happy feet? Then you don't want him in your games. That's essentially how I feel about that. All right, so moving on to Brock Bowers. Do you have the scene?
No.
I'm okay, all right.
I've got, it's like 4 minutes
I think everyone knows exactly what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
He's fat. he's bald. That's what I think of when I hear the stuff about J.J. McCarthy. Texter, I think the biggest question with Caleb Williams is the franchise he's going to, not the player himself. Oh, with so many of these guys. That's a great text. With so many of these guys.
What does he do? He was in real estate. Now, he's not working right now.
Oh, he's not working?
No. No.
How come he's not working?
Well, I mean, he got fired.
Why did he get fired?
Well, he tried to poison his boss. A long story, Cynthia. Seriously, I mean, he just had some problems at work.
Is he nuts?
No. He's a really, really funny guy.
What does he look like?
Pardon?
Well, he's got a lot of character in his face.
A lot of character.
He's short. He's stocky. He's fat. Is that what you're saying? That he's fat?
Powerful. So powerful. He can lift 100 pounds right up over his head. And, what else? He's kind of losing his hair.
No.
He's not bald. He's balding.
So he will be bald. Yeah.
God, that's a great scene. Dude. That's the draft. That's the draft.
That's it.
No. You're laying this on player's agent. No. He's like balding. It's like me. Yeah,
he tries really.
Louis's got great coverage up here. Please.
He tries really hard. He's slow.
Exactly. God. Oh man. So
he's
take?
A great. Got a great arm.
Great
he's
arm.
Short.
Short. Yeah, that's right. Take on Brock Bowers. Quote from a scout. He's smaller and a little less explosive than people thought, but he is a real athlete. I see him as a really good starter. I think he's going to be in the slot and more of an F tight end. All right, what is an F tight end? Help me out.
An F tight end is more of
flex?
Just a...
Is that yeah, F flex, flex? Guy. Got it. Okay,
yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Evan Engram is a good comp. Evan's faster, but probably not as physical. Offensive assistant. I think he'll be an expensive luxury item. I think Bowers has more route running wherewithal and savvy than Evan Engram. At least I'm hoping for his sake.
Mm-hmm.
Woo! Everyone's thinking he's a big dude. He's a lot smaller. Can he block a six technique? No way in the world. I think people are going to play him more like a receiver. He's a matchup problem. He's more of a Sterling Sharp. But back then, you didn't see all these kinds of defenses like you do now. On film, he's a beast. I watched the Auburn game. He just willed them to the win. He completely took it over.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of like... I think that if the knock is his blocking...
He'll be fine.
Then he'll be fine in the new NFL.
Does anybody think Travis Kelce's a great blocker?
Boom. That's a great example. Is that a good comp?
I think Bowers is better than Engram.
I agree.
I think Evan Engram's a solid tight end that he's around the league.
But he's above average.
I think Brock Bowers has a chance to be one of the 5 or 6 best tight ends in the NFL in a couple years. Ever since he's been
at
Georgia.
Yeah, he doesn't seem to be. I don't like the Sterling Sharp is an interesting comparison.
Sterling Sharp would have been a Hall of Famer if he stayed healthy. He would have been one of the greatest receivers of all time. Probably still should be in the Hall of Fame.
I mean, Shannon Sharp got up and said he's the best player in our family.
Oh, yeah. And he
mentioned,
right.
By the way, and everyone went, yeah, that's true.
No, it was. Yeah. Brock Bowers, if somebody took him to the top 10, I wouldn't be mad.
Yeah. You gotta be able to throw the middle of the field, and that's what he does.
He will do that better than any tight end.
Be able to throw the
he's probably
field.
The best tight end prospect since Kyle Pitts. Sam LaPorte is up there, of course.
You know, Texture, there's a Cowboys segment. Yeah, you're damn right.
Of course there is.
You know, Texture texted in, oh, man. I have a feeling the steal of the draft is going to end up being Jordan Travis. Not many GMs are going to want to take a chance on him after the injury, but I feel he's the most talented quarterback on the board. It was interesting watching his ascension. And by the way, CFP committee's correct. He is the best quarterback in the country.
Yeah, apparently, because Florida State can't function as a football team without
that's
him.
That's right. Exactly.
I don't hate that. Jordan Travis will be a mid-round guy who will end up being a nice backup quarterback, maybe start for a couple of games, start for a team somewhere. But he's not the most talented quarterback in the class, but he's underrated.
You do wonder, with the new surgeries, recoveries, etc., can a guy like Jordan Travis get back to that highest level? Because if he can, Texter might not be wrong.
I think he can. The question is, he's basically going to have to
take a... So if Jordan Travis doesn't get... Let's do this.
He's going to have to take a redshirt year, basically.
I agree with that. But if he doesn't get hurt this year, Zach...
Yeah.
Where do you have him ranked in this year's quarterback class? Because that's actually... This is a great text
for this reason. If he doesn't get hurt...
So we've got Caleb Williams. I think all of us agree, if you just look at him, that's a number one kind of quarterback. He is what he is. But then you get into the next tier of group. Like, I don't have Jordan Travis ahead of Jaden Daniels personally.
Nope.
I think of Jaden Daniels as a better player. But the second you get to that third spot with a Drake May, with, you know, McCarthy, any of these other guys, Penix, a J.J. McCarthy, a Penix, a Spencer Rattler, Nicks, a Bo Nix, right?
Yeah.
I would have him right in that group.
Oh, no question. Yeah. He would have been a first-round pick.
And frankly, what's interesting, well, in this draft, is he a top 10 pick?
He might have been. Yeah, especially.
Have you heard anything bad about Jordan Travis?
No,
I have not.
Other than breaking his leg? No.
Thick, lustrous hair is very important to me, is another part of that. Yes, it's... The George side of that conversation is very funny, too. It's thick, lustrous hair is important to you? I don't want, like, my hair to get caught.
Remember when he put the wig on?
Yeah.
You're bald!
You were bald.
I was bald.
Walking around with a cowboy hat. So good. But I would put him right in that spot with McCarthy and Bo Nix and all those guys. I would absolutely have him in that spot. And because of his athleticism, I think it actually elevates him above some of those guys.
There's not a big difference between Jordan Travis, a healthy Jordan Travis, and those guys. There's definitely not a
big
difference.
There just
isn't. He would have been a first
round
pick.
And he was a winner, too, by the way. That guy's just a winner.
If you're going to use the J.J. McCarthy, one of the biggest things people use about J.J. McCarthy, look at his high school record, look at his college record. It's the same thing that we used to use for Ken Dorsey and A.J. McCarron and all these other guys that went to powerful programs and won a lot of games and didn't do jack in the NFL. Like, if your biggest reason for picking J.J. McCarthy in the top five is because of his winning percentage at Michigan, that's not good enough. Alabama quarterbacks win a lot of games. Other than Jalen Hurts, how many of them have done anything in the NFL?
Who would you rather Who would you rather have, let's say, fifth round?
Yeah.
We get to the fifth round, somehow Jordan Travis is still on the board. I don't think that's happening, by the way.
I don't either.
But let's go to whatever round. Would you rather have him or Spencer Rattler?
I'd take Jordan Travis.
I would take the gamble on Jordan Travis, too. I agree.
Spencer Rattler had a couple good games at South Carolina toward the end of the 2022 season. His last year there and every other time, very inconsistent.
Thick, lustrous hair.
Thick, lustrous hair. I like thick, lustrous hair.
Are you a hair guy, Zach?
I am a hair guy.
Okay, yeah, fair enough.
I like having hair.
Must be nice.
It is.
Yeah. I've never had a lot of hair, so I don't even know what the opposite
that's
is.
That's part of the draft process now. We're taking the helmets off. We're going to make sure how much hair you have. The more hair, the better.
Thick, lustrous hair really
matters. Why do you think Caleb Williams is the number one pick? He's got a lot of hair.
Yeah, that's right, man. Bo Nix, I think, is the absolute wild card of the quarterback class. Because McCarthy, I think, is boomer bust.
Yes.
I think he's absolute boomer
bust. He's the boomer bust of this class.
But Bo Nix... So offensive assistant, we're on The Athletic, by the way, I should probably mention them doing their, their anonymous scouts, essentially. Quote, I worry about his accuracy. He gets it in the area. He looks nervous when he plays fidgety. Who reacts the first to color showing in the rush? He does. He wants to turn everything into a runaround. Another quote. I like him a lot. He's been through some stuff and come through it. I've seen Bo manage games, make certain throws against certain coverages, read coverages, and go through progressions against certain teams that I saw Caleb struggle against. Now, I saw much more of this second quote than I did the first one. I don't think of him as fidgety. I think of him as reactionary and athletic.
Yeah.
But lack of accuracy?
For Bo Nix?
It's the opposite.
Bo Nix is maybe the most accurate
probably
quarterback
the most guy in this draft.
Yes.
So that's a weird line, and this is where, Texter said earlier, the misinformation thing, they're totally right. That's obviously what we're doing.
This is fake news season.
Bo Nix, man, here's the question. Let's go through it right now.
Yeah.
Williams, number one. We assume Jaden Daniels, number two.
Okay, Dad just said Sam Hartman's the number one pick if we're doing it based on hair. Yeah, that's right. Good call.
You're a beautiful man. Yeah, bleep that guy. He's got more beard than I have on my
Sam head. Hartman, if every NFL game was played in Louisville, Sam Hartman would be the best quarterback of all time. If he could just play with Louisville guys.
Oh, man. No consensus about the other four potential first-rounders. Penix, we have not gotten to yet. They list Penix ahead of Drake May, by the way, in this article.
So do I.
Doesn't mean anything. I know that you and I do as well. Quote, Penix is third for me. He can already do all the pocket stuff. I just wish he had more juice. He's kind of more of a slow burn guy. Get pissed off when he doesn't throw one good in the workout. Get excited about something. If he could run even a little bit more, he would definitely have been in the top 10. He and Caleb have the best anticipation. He doesn't take sacks. Here's what's fascinating about that paragraph. 10 years ago, you didn't want the guy. If he could run a little more, you wouldn't have heard that 10 years ago.
Correct.
And now it's just, it is flipped in a really
significant
way.
Now you need a quarterback that can move.
That's exactly right.
The biggest reason Penix isn't a consensus top 10 pick is not because he can't move. It's because he's had injury history. Because he's lost three seasons to injury. That's it.
Quote, with him, it's more physically concerning. He's a thin-boned dude and he's had injuries. Now, I remember when that happened and people were up in arms around here. And I understand it. They were protective of Teddy Bridgewater. But it ended up being real.
Nope, that was correct.
And he hurt that knee in practice, so you do wonder, because of situations like that, if Penix is catching the shrapnel from those, you know, those situations. Drake May, J.J. McCarthy, do you think they both go in the top 10?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
No doubt.
Who's the next quarterback, and where does he go?
I think the next quarterback will be Penix. I think he could go to the Broncos.
12? What is that?
Yeah. 11? Some have said Atlanta. At 8, but I don't think he's going to go to Atlanta.
I actually think him in a dome is a good thing.
And if you don't think Penix is ready to play right away, you got Kirk Cousins.
Right?
Wouldn't be the worst place for him to land? But then again,
Penix... You can say whatever you want about Kirk Cousins. I bet you could learn a lot about the day-to-day being an NFL quarterback thing from Kirk Cousins.
What's interesting, though, is you look at the last 10 drafts or whatever, the oldest quarterbacks to get drafted, this class has 3 of the oldest quarterbacks, because Bo Nix played forever, Jaden Daniels played forever, and Michael Penix played forever. All these guys were quarterbacks in college before COVID was a thing.
Texter, if Brohm is hired instead of Satterfield, does Jordan Travis leave? And do Louisville fans know who Jack Plummer is? The answer is no and no.
No. Nope.
He definitely stays, and he definitely is at the top of this draft class. Texter, Trevor Lawrence, both guys like McCarthy rarely lose a game heading into the draft.
That's right.
It is. Yeah. Trevor Lawrence, though, I thought was
the ultimate hair guy. By the way, if we're doing hair,
bleep him. But he's a really good example, though, of this, where he was a winner, but the arm is so much better. It's so obviously better. So yeah, no, he's going to be fine for a really long time. All right, so let's find one more thing. Don't be surprised if no defensive players go in the top 10. And it's interesting, Zach, and we talk about, you know, reaction to movements and different things in sports, and the NFL is no different for sure. But, you know, Peyton Manning gets to the Colts, everyone starts drafting edge rushers, right? Correct. And that part of the game becomes even more important than it was. Now we're seeing, actually, the interior guys are just as important, because being able to throw over the middle and those kinds of plays really matter. And if you can get pressure without having to blitz, it's a huge deal in the NFL. So those middle guys really do matter. So to not have anyone in the top 10, are you surprised by that?
A little bit. I think Dallas Turner is going to be the guy if they're going to draft a defensive player in the top 10, the outside linebacker from Alabama. One of the best pass rushers. Last year, Will Anderson was the go-to guy. This year, it was Dallas Turner. He's the guy if they're going to have a top 10 defensive player, it's going to be him. You know what's the deepest position outside of receiver? It's offensive line.
Mm.
Joe Alt from Notre Dame's the go-to guy. Troy Fatanu from Washington, J.C. Lantham at Alabama. You're going to have a lot of guys.
It's a good year, you're right.
Fashanu from Penn State.
Yep, it's a good year.
Boy, there's going to be a lot of offensive linemen. It's either going to be offensive linemen or wide receiver is going to be the most drafted position in the first round. And how have we gone this far and we haven't even brought up what's going to be the first? It's going to be a first for a very long time. We're going to have a white cornerback picked in the first round. Cooper DeJean from Iowa.
Of course his name is Cooper.
Yeah.
He's a baller.
He's a white guy from Iowa. Of course his name's Cooper.
Yeah, but
oh, no, he's fantastic.
Baller, yes.
He's a great corner, good return guy.
I was going to say, he might be a punt return in the NFL.
You know, his player comp is Jason Sehorn. Wonder why.
More Jason Sehorn talk. We do it next. Does he get Angie Harmon? Because that's kind of good.
Well, he fumbled Angie Harmon.
He did fumble that. It's not a good move. Don't fumble Angie Harmon.
Not great, Bob.
That, for some reason, she came across a timeline for some reason on some social media. I don't even remember which social media platform I was on. And I was like, oh, Angie Harmon's still hitting the mid at 88. How about that?
I forgot about Angie Harmon.
Yeah, a little Angie Harmon hitting the solid 88.
Yeah, not bad.
She just lost a little fastball, but not too much. Yeah, no. She's doing all right. Yeah,
still gets the job done.
Sehorn. Jason Sehorn. That Giants team, too many of those guys got famous. That bothers me, actually.
Strahan, of course, yeah. The most famous of all of them. Yeah. Kerry Collins didn't get famous.
That's fair.
Tiki Barber did, for not very good reasons.
Correct.
Seahorn got famous.
It's too many.
Well-dressed Amani Toomer.
Amani Toomer. God, Amani Toomer.
Jeremy Shockey.
Amani, it's not a tumor.
Amani, it's not a tumor.
Oh, man. All right, we got to get to break here. I want to remind you about my friends at SignUpExpert.com. Use our code SignUpExpert.com/horseracing. No matter where you are, they will sign you up with the best sign-up offers for Sportsbook and all those fantasy sites, everything from DraftKings all the way down to Underdog Fantasy. Just some great offers out there. No matter where you are, check them out. SignUpExpert.com/horseracing. Blood or salami. We do it next here at ESPN 680 105.7.
You are listening to Rabeau and Co. here on ESPN 680 105.7. Now, here's Louis Rabeau.
Ah, yes, the show with the runaround, the NFL draft runaround. It's a Rabeau and Co. here, ESPN 680 105.7. Thanks for making us part of your hump day Wednesday here. Go ahead and text us in 437-9680, but it is time for bologna or salami.
Get out your mustard, kids. It's time for bologna or salami.
Ah, yes, around the NFL draft, where there is more baloney talked about than just about any other time. What's more full of baloney, the NFL draft or the election? More fake news, 437-9680.
We used to be a proper draft.
We used to be a proper draft. We used to be a proper country. Used to be a lot of proper things. But we've got a proper baloney.
What happened to the draft of my youth? What happened?
They went away from Radio City Music Hall.
I remember when people didn't lie kind of as much.
I remember when they used to do the draft every year in New York, and we were happy about it.
That was great. Why does Detroit get the draft? What a horrible decision. Anyways, go on.
You like it.
I don't like it. No, I wanted Radio City, but I'm wrong. I'm wrong about the take.
Okay, so let's go ahead and start.
Where Louis was wrong.
Let's start with the NFL draft.
Yep.
Louisville or Kentucky will have a player drafted in the first three rounds. So basically a day two guy.
All right, so let's go through who the most likely candidates are for that, as far as who would be in that list.
Yeah, it's not a particularly long list.
Garendo, obviously.
Ray Davis
is there. I think Davis feels more
Drew
like a
Phillips,
fifth rounder.
Porter.
Okay.
He's projected to go, he's a 72nd ranked prospect, which would make him a day two pick.
Yep. Man. I'm going to go baloney. I think Garendo's off the board first. I think it's fourth round. So I'll go very
Jamari
early.
Thrash. That's another guy.
Yeah, the wide receiver class is so deep, though.
Yeah. Jarvis Brownlee.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Ooh. Brownlee would be it. If someone goes in the third round, it'd be Brownlee. But I'll go baloney. I'll go fourth round. And I'll go, you know what? I'll go multiple local players in the fourth round.
Okay. I'll go salami. I think somebody takes a chance on a guy like Garendo who runs as well as he did in the combine.
Sure.
There's always combine warriors every year. I think somebody might take Jarvis Brownlee. Ray Davis is an interesting candidate. Drew Phillips is an interesting candidate. He's the highest rated of all the guys, according to Mel Kiper's big board of all the local guys. I think somebody, at least one Louisville or Kentucky player, will go in the first three rounds or the first 2 days of the draft. I think there's a chance. I think it's more likely that we have two players drafted in the first 2 days than
none. Okay. All right, cool. Awesome.
Disagreement. How about that?
Look at that.
So, let's stick to the quarterbacks. Bologna or salami, six quarterbacks will be picked in the first round.
Okay, so let's do it. We'll
That's
go through
the magic
the list
number.
Here. So, Caleb Williams, yes. Drake May, yes. Jaden Daniels, yes.
McCarthy, yes.
McCarthy, for sure. And I think the four of them will be in the top 10. I think Bo Nix goes in the first round. I think the inaccuracy comment is a clear lie. And people love accuracy, so Bo Nix, boy, he's just so old. Was he 24?
Yeah. He started more games than any college quarterback ever.
And then I got to get Penix or someone else in the first round. You know what? I'll go salami. I think six guys do go in the first round, and that's the number I'll stick with.
Jaden Daniels, by the way, is 23. He'll be 24 later this
year. Oh, okay. Then I'll shut the hell up. How about that?
Yeah. A lot of Penix is wrong. How old's Penix?
He's got to be 23.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he and Nix, I think, both started in 19. Point. Yeah. Yeah, he's 23 as well. He'll be 24 in a month.
Trevin Wallace could be a day two pick coming down the text line. That's a good one, actually. Yep.
That's another one.
Yep. That's a good one.
No, I think six quarterbacks get picked in the first round because everybody always talks themselves into, we're going to trade up and get a quarterback. It's always four or five guys typically in the first round, and I think you've got six guys that are good enough to be first-round draft picks this year. I think somebody will talk themselves into Bo Nix in the first round. Michael Penix will be talked into in the first round because guess what happens after the first three or four quarterbacks get picked? Teams start panicking because now they need to go get a quarterback themselves.
Totally agree.
So I do think six quarterbacks are going to be picked in the first round. I don't think there's a seventh guy that would do it, but I think six definitely will be picked in the first round.
If Spencer Rattler's the drop-off, he's not a first-rounder.
No,
it's okay to say he's not a first-rounder.
No, he's a third or fourth-rounder at best. It'll be those top six, and then there's a steep drop-off.
Yes. Yes. All right, keep going.
Yeah, you're not getting another quarterback pick for a while.
I agree.
The hockey playoffs are the best postseason in all of professional sports. Professional sports. I'm not going to make you pick between hockey and the NCAA tournament. Hockey versus every other professional sporting postseason. Bologna or salami?
It's
hockey's
bologna,
the best.
But it's really excellent, man. I mean, it's really excellent. Playoff hockey's awesome. March Madness is better.
Yes, that's why I said professional sports.
Just professional sports?
Yes, professional sports. See? I threw you there. That's why I added in the caveat. Professional sports.
I have really enjoyed the NFL playoffs the last couple of years.
Yep.
I feel like the play's been really high level. Or games don't go the way I expect them to, and then teams have to adjust, and the greatness comes out of guys like Mahomes and different things. You know what? I'll go salami on that one. I do think Stanley Cup playoffs are that good. It's just such a freaking war between teams. I'll go. It's better than the NBA playoffs, which are also very good, by the way.
Yes.
Baseball playoffs.
Hit or miss.
Are, no. In person, incredible.
Yeah.
Baseball in person in the postseason is awesome. And it is, no one sits. Every pitch is pins and needles, but TV just doesn't do it for me. I'll go salami about the NHL, man.
I still think it's the NFL playoffs. Because the difference between the NHL playoffs and the NFL playoffs is sudden death, one and done. You lose it, you lose, you're done.
Sure.
You can't come back after a tough loss in game one or whatever where you can win the next four. Like the Pacers got blown off the court against the Bucks game one. They came back and won game two. That doesn't happen in the NFL. It's one shot. Do not miss your chance to blow. This opportunity comes once in a lifetime. Unless you're Patrick Mahomes, because then you're going to have it pretty much every single season. But think of what we've had in the NFL playoffs the last 2 years. We've had just dramatic games with like the Chiefs and the Bills, the Chiefs and the Bengals. The last two Super Bowls with the Chiefs and Eagles and 49ers have been fantastic. The Lions 49ers game, I know the heartbreak hotel for the Lions, but that was a tremendous game.
Yep.
The Eagles have played in some great playoff games these last couple years.
Yeah.
I think we've had more memorable NFL playoff games the last 5 years than we've had the previous 10 years or so. It just seems like teams are more evenly matched, and plus just the tension of one and done.
Right.
I think that puts it over the NHL playoffs. But of all the seven-game postseasons, the NHL is the best because we have more upsets. You get the hot goalie. The crowds are really into it. People watch playoff hockey that don't watch regular season hockey.
Texter, who was Jason Seahorn's draft comp? Dick LeBeau. Yeah, that's a good text. Texter, I don't think Andrew Phillips makes it past the third round. That was the name we didn't mention from the locals.
Yep.
He's very good. He's a corner. That's a position that's always of need in the NFL. Trevin Wallace, like I mentioned, coming down. MLB playoffs, very underrated coming down the text line as well. Keep going.
Yeah, I thought last year the baseball playoffs were not necessarily all that great.
The best thing about baseball playoffs is pitch to pitch, you don't know what's going to happen.
No, that's right.
That's the best part is you get every 15 seconds there's a new play and you don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, I will say some of the most dramatic postseasons of any sport that I've ever watched are the back-to-back when you had the Red Sox, Yankees, ALCS in 03 and 04 with you had the Aaron Boone homer and then the 3-0 comeback. Baseball has probably never reached that status again since, aside from perhaps the 2016 World Series, the Cubs and the Indians with that seven game. Yep. Of course,
that was an all-timer for sure.
Probably the last all-time moment we've had in baseball. So Jason Tatum, right now, the guy, of course, has never won a championship, but he's lauded right now as maybe the best American basketball player.
Yeah,
because the top players right now, let's face it, they're mostly foreign guys. It's Luka Doncic, it's Nikola Jokic, it's Giannis. Bologna or salami, Jason Tatum is currently the best American basketball player.
It's bologna. I'm deciding how far down the list he is. He's still in my mind behind LeBron.
Mm-hmm.
He is still in my mind. Like right now,
currently,
for the rest of the playoffs, I would take Shai Gilgeous-Alexander before I take Jason Tatum.
Okay.
That might be an unpopular NBA opinion. We can ask Jay tomorrow, but I would take SGA right now. American-born players. Oh, because you're right. Just my brain went foreign just right away. Would I rather have him than Durant right now? Yeah, I'd rather have Tatum.
I'd rather have Tatum than Durant.
For sure. More than... yeah. So I'll go Bologna, just because I found two guys that I would rather have as the top of the place. And I think SGA, by the way, is going to be better than him for the
SGA's
next 5 years.
SGA's up
well.
There.
I think he's way up there.
Steph is not in the playoffs, but...
I don't think Steph's as good as Tatum right now.
No.
Not as an overall player.
Booker is up there.
And Murray's from Canada.
Murray's from Canada. Dame's pretty good.
Booker's up there, but I'd rather have Tatum. I'd rather have Tatum than... I thought about Dame.
Anthony
I'd rather
Davis.
Have him than Dame.
Anthony Davis.
Anthony Edwards.
Anthony Edwards.
Oh,
yeah.
Good texting, Texter.
It's baloney for Tatum because Anthony Edwards might be the
Anthony
guy.
Anthony Edwards above him, too.
Yeah.
So he might... He's barely in top five. How about that?
Yeah.
Damn.
See, that's what makes people think.
This show, making people think.
How about that?
Yeah. Yeah, I have like third or fourth.
Fourth.
Oh, SGA's Canadian, that's right.
Yeah, SGA's Canadian.
Thank you, people. Thank you, people.
Would you rather have Anthony Davis or would you rather have Tatum?
Tatum.
Yeah, I think I would too. I'd still take LeBron.
But I'd rather have Anthony Edwards right now.
I'd take the Ant-Man over...
Thank you for the reminder of SGA. I can't believe I forgot that. Thank you.
Yeah, I think the Ant-Man might be the best American player right now.
Better than LeBron?
No.
It's right there.
Yeah.
That's how good he's playing right now.
Yeah,
he's playing that
LeBron's
well.
Still LeBron.
He's still LeBron.
Even if he's not prime LeBron, obviously, but 21 years in, LeBron is still...
They just have no depth on that team.
No.
So they get to the fourth quarter and everybody runs
No,
back.
They...
Thank you. Yes, SGA, I know. I'm sorry.
They get double-digit leads every game because LeBron and Anthony Davis are great,
right.
And then the Lakers have no depth behind them, and the Nuggets have a lot of depth.
Yeah.
And that's why the Nuggets are just the worst matchup for him. I would have picked the Lakers over just about anybody else in the Western Conference, but I can't pick them over the Nuggets.
There you go.
Speaking of the Nuggets, and this is an evergreen one, Dan Issel, still top five Nugget of all time. We got to bring it back to Dan.
Nugget, yes. He is not the greatest Nugget of all time anymore.
Jokic is.
Yes.
Carmelo.
He's above Carmelo still.
Think so?
I know so.
Okay.
They're close, though.
Jamal Murray?
Jamal is not there yet. He can catch Issel. Jamal Murray can catch Issel. This postseason can very much help him. He wins a second title, he's passed. That's it. That one's very simple to me. He passes Issel in titles, that's it.
Okay. Dikembe?
Issel's better player than Dikembe, for sure. For sure.
Okay.
Issel both ends, man. That's the key. Rebounds, everything. No, Issel both ends, yes.
I was going to say, I'm just trying to think of guys that I primarily associate as Denver Nuggets.
Yeah, yeah. Well, plus, did Carmelo play his best basketball in Denver or in New York?
I say Denver.
I agree. But what was it, 8 years?
Yeah.
Right? You got about 11 out of Issel in
David
Denver.
Thompson?
Thompson might be ahead of this.
How about Alex English?
Alex English might be ahead of this.
So we've established Jokic, Alex English,
yeah.
David Thompson.
Yeah.
You say no on Melo.
No on Melo.
So you'd have Issel fourth.
Third or fourth, yeah.
Okay.
He's in that Alex English class. He's in that group. Yeah.
Is Dikembe probably the honorable mention?
Yeah, honorable mention there.
Fat Lever?
Fat Lever was really good.
Fat Lever was very good.
Really good. Well, the thing with Dikembe is he has the upset.
Yes, he does. And
he has
the ball, he's laying on his back with the ball over his head. It's a memorable moment. Yeah. Jamal Murray's in the top five if he wins another title there.
Yeah.
If Jokic is the best, no question.
Yeah, if Jokic keeps winning stats for 3-4 more years, I'd be put him in over Jordan for the GOAT, and I never thought that was possible for me. Look, no, Jokic,
those conversations are going to have to be had.
The Jokic ceiling conversation is really interesting.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, Jokic, his ceiling's top 10.
Yeah, Texter pointing out that Murray's already above Melo on the Nugget chain. That's interesting. I don't know if I agree with that, but he won a title. I mean, look, at some point, what you value in that conversation does matter.
But isn't it odd, though, that if you ask, I don't know, 10 random basketball fans to ask Denver Nuggets, the first name they're going to say is Jokic. The second name they're probably going to say is Melo, still.
Or Mutombo.
Yeah.
Mutombo has that holding the basketball after the upset moment.
Yes, and
you
Dan was the coach.
Those are not, you just can't replace those. Winning, it's the great
Yeah.
The great antidote to everything. And so even in his case, yeah, that's why you remember him with the Nuggets. That moment.
Text Dan and ask if he thinks he's a top five Denver Nugget of all time. I wonder what he would say to that.
Texter wants to know, well, yeah, Dan's better than Carmelo, but is he better than a Caramello bar? No. No.
No, obviously not.
Allen Iverson did play for the Nuggets, but his best years were not there.
They're in Philadelphia.
They were.
Yeah. Kiki Vandeweghe was a pretty good Denver.
Texter wants to know, if they're both healthy, would you take Tatum over Jimmy Butler? Butler has beat him on several. You know what? Butler.
I'd take Jimmy.
Man. Playoff Jimmy especially, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
We got to meet this girl.
If I need her. How's she doing?
she walks by every day, and I'm not mad about it.
No, I'm not.
What? I do think. Yeah, you'd rather have Jimmy Butler. That's a really good
I think
good
I would.
One.
If I'm asking for the regular season, I'm taking Tatum. If I'm building a franchise, I'm taking Tatum. If I need playoffs, I'm taking Jimmy.
Jamal Murray, a Canadian as well. No, we know.
Jamal Murray.
That got
very
mentioned
Canadian.
Earlier, I promise. Texter asked George Karl if Melo or Murray is better. It's really fair.
Well, George Karl will tell you that you're better than Melo.
Right. All right, last one.
That's it. That was five. How about that?
Yeah, yeah. Man, oh, man. That sounds awesome.
George Karl hates Melo the way that, I mean, most of us hate foreign leaders. He's written books about how he hates Carmelo, and Carmelo's the laziest player he ever coached, and Carmelo never played any defense. I think partly because of that, I think Melo gets underrated now. He was overrated for long enough that he's now become underrated.
You know, Jason Anderson, who worked here for many years, had an affinity for Carmelo Anthony, and I do too, and here's mine. Carmelo was on the Redeem team.
Yes.
And I don't wrap myself in the flag on a lot of stuff, but the men's USA basketball team and the women's USA basketball team should be the best teams in the world when they're put together every 4 years.
Correct.
Shouldn't be a question. And I would absolutely... Carmelo in the Olympics was a different dude. He played differently. When he got to the NBA, he was ISO guy. I get it. He wasn't that guy on the Olympic team. And I will never forget him being part of the Redeem team, and I will never not be grateful that he was on that team. I love that team.
He's part of, three gold medal teams. He's the all-time leading scorer in the history of the Olympics.
That's the thing about him. I'll never underplay that part of it.
No.
That matters to me.
There are former players that'll tell you that played against LeBron, played against Kobe, that the toughest player to guard was Melo. Because Melo's offensive game was as beautiful to watch as anybody.
There's a great scene where someone asks, who was the toughest player you played against to Kobe? And he said, can I go by eras?
Mm-hmm.
And Gilbert Arenas got a mention.
Oh, yeah.
Carmelo Anthony, Allen Iverson for sure. He talked about those guys. And it's a reminder of how much of a psychopath these guys are. He remembered exactly how many points they scored against him in what arena in what year.
Oh, yeah. Well, Larry Bird used to go around asking what's the stadium record or what's the record for most points scored in this facility, and he would go out and do it.
Yeah, Texter, Zach's exactly right. Franchise and regular season, you take Tatum, but for playoffs, you want Jimmy.
Correct.
Yeah, I think we all agree on that for sure.
Texter,
there's a Melo cult that definitely exists. I'm sorry, I'm not trying to be the president. I'm just...
And you know what the best
thing... Would I be a good cult leader?
Oh, yeah.
What's the line... Every cult starts out nice, and eventually the cult leaders got 50 wives, and that's just how it goes. Man, one is plenty.
Have we not? There's
one is plenty.
One's plenty.
Plenty.
You know what else we got to talk about with Melo?
What's that?
That Melo has saved Jim Boeheim from being the biggest choking coach of all time.
Yeah, Texter just said Melo also carried the orange on his back to win a title as a freshman. That's also just unequivocally true, man.
We would talk about Jim Boeheim as the most underachieving coach of all time if Melo didn't exist.
Texter saying, you know, Lou, you got to point out Carmelo also was on that 2004 Olympic team that failed, just to be fair.
That's true. But he was fresh out of college.
He would have been a sophomore in college.
Yeah, that's why people that hold that against LeBron is ridiculous.
Oh, well, okay. I want to back up the Texter here because I think the Texter's totally right, but I think you can also... I would like to think with Carmelo, yeah, I'm not doing that.
If you go back and look at the 04 Olympic team, Larry Brown did a terrible job coaching that team. Too many defenders, not enough shooters. That was when American basketball was broken. Like those Pistons, I know you like the Pistons, not fun to watch.
Oh, no.
And then the Olympic team
I used to watch 71-68 games.
It was terrible.
Of course.
And then the American basketball realized, okay, we need to change some of these rules and make basketball fun again. And then they did.
Texter, Melo's so underappreciated. I feel like most of the hate toward him is media driven. I don't know. Texter, prime Gilbert Arenas would average 35 in today's game. That's unequivocally true.
Absolutely.
Yes, 100%. Yes.
Very underrated.
Trace McGrady is another one of those
T-Mac,
guys.
If he T-Mac didn't get
in this
hurt.
Era would be unbelievable.
Yes.
That size, he's Durant before Durant. Yeah. And he really is. I think he's 6'8", 6'9".
Yeah.
He's got that skinny frame, that taller frame. That guy.
There's an interesting story about T-Mac where they almost the Celtics almost, or the Bulls almost traded Scottie Pippen for T-Mac before the Bulls' last championship. Wow. That's when T-Mac was getting drafted.
Right. Wow.
The Celtics, I know Rick Pitino wanted T-Mac.
Yeah, early. Yeah, no. T-Mac was different, man. Penny Hardaway was
Penny Hardaway before the knees.
Yep. Yeah. Man, oh, man. All right, we got to take a break here for sure. Bobby V after us, of course, Roundtable 3 o'clock. The drive over on 93.9 as well, leading you into the Dan McDonald Show in Louisville Sports Live, starting at 6 over on 93.9. We'll have Reds Phillies here on 680 1057. Again, Mazza Pie, MOZZAPI.com. Pizza, focaccia bread, the salads, the cookies, everything. The dining locations, they're in Anchorage, Douglas Loop, Bartstown Road as well. So make sure you pop in and try that delicious handmade brick oven pizza. Mazzapie.com. Wrap up the show next here. ESPN 680, 105.7.
Listening to Rabeau and Co. here on ESPN 680 1057. Now, here's Louis Rabeau.
All right, welcome back in. Final segment before Bobby V takes over at noon here on Rabeau and Co. ESPN 680 1057. Thanks to Mike Gandolfo for joining us in the first hour. If you ever missed part of the show, head to that podcast center, ESPNLouisville.com, anywhere on our app, completely free to download in the Apple Store, Google Play, wherever you get your apps. Go ahead and check it out. Costs you nothing. I get nothing to to talk about it. It's just the easiest way to listen to this station. For sure, people enjoyed the last segment talking about those guys. It reminded me, Zach, of one of my, I think, most unpopular sports opinions. And we have these guys, the old what-if guys, right? So Bill Walton is sort of one of the originals, right? It hurts his foot. What kind of NBA career could he have gotten?
I fear that Joel Embiid is heading toward the same path.
Once you have a foot problem as a big guy,
and
it just doesn't matter.
He can't run up and down the court, and he's still the best player in the series.
I know. It's a shame. I have more FOMO stuff about the Grant Hill injuries than I do about Bo Jackson.
Well, was a Piston fan, yeah.
No. I mean in general. I think Grant Hill is the best player in the NBA for a while if he doesn't get hurt. For a while. And I'm not sure that we didn't see peak Bo Jackson already. I think we did.
Remember when he went to Orlando and they almost got Duncan? It was going to be Grant Hill, T-Mac, and Duncan?
I know. Like that kind of stuff. And I just that's one of those really, really unfair things that happen in sports, wherever that texture. Melo is just like Russell Westbrook or James Harden, great individual talents, but didn't translate to team success, can be acknowledged for their individual talents, but can't be in conversations for greatest players, though. I don't think those three guys are in the conversation for greatest players of all time, but I think all of them have their spots. And Russell Westbrook, man, that guy was a triple-double machine.
Oh, yeah.
For years, which means that other guys were scoring at least 10 buckets a game.
Russell Westbrook is the most athletic point guard I've ever seen in my life.
Texter.
Derek Rose not far behind.
Carmelo treated every NBA team he played on like they were a Syracuse team. He could never get past college. Man, that's an interesting take. I think he's just an ISO guy in the NBA. I just think he was. Someone asking me about the infield price to the Derby. I have not seen it. Is it that bad?
It's 130.
What do people want?
Yeah, I didn't think it was that bad.
What do people want? I just, at some point, my wife is going to go to a concert coming up here. It's going to be like $400. It's just is what things cost these days. It's just part of it. I don't have a strong take either way. I do have to do Meet the Derby Horses for today. This is presented by our friends at the Kentucky HBPA, KYHBPA.com. Catching Freedom is number 3 in points, trained by Brad Cox. We had him on the Kentucky Racing Spotlight a couple weeks ago, Zach, and he has a horse of his on the wall at Churchill Downs as a winner of the Derby, but it was after a court case and lots of different things. He was very open about wanting to be there when his horse actually crosses the line first. He has the Louisiana Derby winner in Catching Freedom. He's going to have Flavian Pratt aboard. So you get Flavian Pratt, who won one of the DQ Derbies aboard Country House for Bill Mott. This is Son of Constitution, Pioneer of the Nile, Mayor, this is a horse that's going to get the distance. A good thing about the Louisiana Derby, Zach, it's within a 16th of a mile of the length of the Kentucky Derby. It's the length of the Preakness race. And so of all of the preps, this is the one that is most approximating the 10 furlongs, the 10/8 of a mile that you have to do on Derby Day. And in this case, he's obviously capable of getting it, both by his breeding and by the past race. I think he's an include here. And I think you're probably going to get a price on him. I think Catching Freedom, because of the other horses in this field, will be 10-1 or longer.
Tough when he's got the Cowboys star there. I mean, it's going to be the postseason, so he's obviously not going to do all that well. If you were betting on him, then you saw the Dallas star. Sorry.
Texter, you're 100% right on Grant Hill. He was supposed to be Shaq's Kobe in Orlando. Dude almost lost his foot.
You know what NBA team has a team full of what if guys? The Blazers. Greg Oden, Brandon Roy. We forget how good Brandon Roy was. Greg Oden would have been good if his knees held up. And of course, Walton. Yep.
Donovan Mitchell's name coming down as an athletic. Yeah,
Ralph Sampson. Guy. That's another guy.
Oh, no, you're right. There's a lot of them. Then you get into further down on the list here. So the 7th ranked horse in the point system is a horse named Endlessly. And this is the wild card of this year. The owners want to run in the Derby. The trainer does not. And so he is currently entered as a probable for the Kentucky Derby. But he is a turf horse. Let's be very clear about what they want to do with his career long term. He ran in the juvenile turf in the Breeders' Cup in November. They ran him then in the El Camino Real Derby, which is on the synthetic course in San Francisco. Spanish for
El Camino, Spanish for the Camino.
And then they brought him to Kentucky, ran in Jeff Ruby Stakes. Now, both of those make sense because they're big checks, and he ran well in both. Last year's winner of that race, by the way, the old Jeff Ruby Stakes up at Turfway Park, was a horse named Two Fills, ran second in the Derby. In 2021, the third place finisher in that race was a horse named Rich Strike, who won the Kentucky Derby. So I think if you own Endlessly, I always remind people of 2016 and a horse named Whitmore. Whitmore ran dead last in the Derby, and I mean last. He owned it, and he went on to win a Breeders' Cup race later in his life as a sprinter. The Derby doesn't have to be the terminus of a horse's career, so I hope if anyone's listening connected to Endlessly, son of Oscar performance, get him in that field, get him in that starting gate, and just see what happens. And a cool story for the final horse that we're going to meet today in West Saratoga. He's 11th on the points here. And Larry Demerit is his trainer. He's a native of Jamaica. He'll be the first black trainer of a horse in the Derby field in quite some time. He's got a small barn. He's not a big operation. And this is a horse that hasn't won a race this year. Got into the field anyway. Ran second in that aforementioned Jeff Ruby Stakes, which, by the way, the third place finisher came out of and won the Derby a couple years ago. Ran third in the Sam F. Davis before that. His best win was actually in the very first race on the road to the Kentucky Derby. And that's called the Iroquois Stakes, a one-turn mile. Where is that? At Churchill Downs. So the horse has actually already shown some quality over the surface at Churchill Downs. If you wanted to make the case for West Saratoga, son of Exaggerator, by the way, Preakness winner, from that 2016 class with Whitmore. By the way, that 2016, looking back, that 2016 Santa Anita Derby, Nyquist, Exaggerator, and Whitmore, fire. That's about as good as it gets. Is going to be coming back to Churchill Downs. Cool story with Larry. I hope the horse runs well. I really do, because I like this. Zach, usually I see the Iroquois winner, and I think they should sell that horse. He's never getting the Derby.
That's your guy.
And this year, but this year it happened. And he didn't just qualify for the Derby. He's 11th. It's not like he snuck in.
Mm-hmm.
No, he's mid-pack. He really did the damn thing. And so congratulations to the connections there. Be interested to see if Jesus Castanon keeps them out with that horse as well. Of course, next week, Monday through Thursday, no change in my personal schedule. I'll be on during this time slot the first 3 days on the backside in the barns there at Churchill Downs, and then we will be in 322 the rest of the week. Your best chance to come find us and hang out is going to be on Thurby. It's just when there's the least amount of security in the media section and all those kinds of things, our easiest day to meet people and hang out. So please do come by on Thursday as part of the show. I'll be hanging out until drive time. I'll do some hits with Strebel and with Ennis as well. Doing a hit Thursday morning in Bardstown. I didn't know they had radio in Bardstown, Zach. I had no idea.
I didn't either.
How about that? Well,
there you go.
Little Bardstown radio on Thursday.
Guy asked a couple times, where does Iowa's punter go in the draft? I said, top pick, obviously.
Let's go.
The best player in the draft. I mean, there was nobody more valuable to their team last year than Iowa's punter.
The most utilized player in the draft, at least.
Boy, if you're a punter coming out of high school, go to Iowa.
Oh, man.
And by the, I mean, of
did
course,
did you see
all
Iowa's
Australian
quarterbacks at the transfer portal?
Yeah, he'll probably play offensive line or something.
Who's gonna take him? Where are you transferred to, bro? We watched you hand the ball off 30 times and score 4 points a game. Even the cancer kids in the hospital were offended. What are we doing?
Wow.
What are we doing? Where are you transferring? No, nothing.
Haven't they suffered enough? They had to sit there and
did
watch
you see
the Iowa
games? Someone needed to put the tweet out. They should move Caitlin Clark's games to the to Kinnick. So that those kids can see winning sports.
I think she scored more points last year than Iowa football has scored the
in
last 4 years combined. Yeah, no, right. She scored more points last year than Iowa football did in the 4 years that she was there combined.
That's what it was, yeah. Gosh. That's great.
Ooh.
That's bad, man. I did get the offer, and I'm very much mulling it. I'm not kidding. So at the Derby and at big sporting events, they have the planes that fly around with the banners.
Oh, yeah.
I've been put in touch with those people. And I can afford it, but I need to know what I should hang on that banner behind the plane in front of 100,000 people. What's the funniest thing to do? Do I advertise myself? Do I do, like, the happy hour or this show or whatever?
Advertise the hell out of our show.
This, Louie, the thing I'm involved with, dude, this.
This is it.
Oh, man.
I want my name on a plane. If there's forms of transportation that I want my name on, boats number one, planes number two.
Dexter, but what about the wear and tear? How much does that Iowa putter have left in his leg? It's a fair question.
That's true. It's like a running back who's carried the ball too many
times. It's a lot of punting. Oh, man. Reds, Phillies tonight at 6. We will have Louisville baseball this weekend. Big series against Clemson. That'll start 5:50 on Friday. Afternoon games at 1 o'clock both Saturday and Sunday. All that on 93.9 with our guy Sean Moth. Soccer City tomorrow at 6 o'clock as well, inside Churchill Downs. This coming Friday, they'll have all kinds of information for you. Opening night on Saturday, they are doing the Derby draw on Saturday. So a bit of a change from previous years, so we will not be able to hold those things up that way. put some ice on that burn. Hey, I'm dealing with the burns. You settle down. All right. Well, I think that's it for today, man. I guess we can 11:57 play the music and get out of here. We'll get into Catalytic and Encino tomorrow as we get into more of these things. Texture the banner should say, I know Dan Issel.
I'm friends with Dan. You gotta make sure that you put that out there.
He would come on my show, not Terry Biters. How about that, Strebel?
I would have came on your show. Beautiful sign.
Oh, man. We'll talk to Ben Roberts tomorrow. We'll get in with Jay Davison, of course. The ownership of Sierra Leone, they'll join us in the 11 o'clock hour tomorrow as well as we start gearing up for Kentucky Derby 150. He's Zach Cantrell. I'm Louis Rabeau. Have a great rest of the day. We're back at 10 o'clock tomorrow, and we hope you are too. Rabeau and Co. here, ESPN 680, 105.7. Have a great day, everybody.
Taking care of your family isn't always easy, so we make sure getting care when you need it is. With Baptist Health Urgent and Virtual Care, we bring you more options and greater convenience, too. With video visits available 24/7 and online check-in through MyChart for in-person visits. To check in online or to set up a video visit, go to baptisthealth.com/careanywhere.
When it's time to replace your heating and air system, we know people want options. That's why you'll always get a free second opinion with BJ Heating and Cooling. Plus, for a limited time, get 0% financing for 60 months on a new Bryant system.
Call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling.